simple is not easy. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. Just because something is easily understood, uncomplicated, doesn't mean it's easy to do. Put the bell on the cat, that's what we need to do, said the mice. Simple, but not so easy to do. What we need to get across that ravine is a bridge. Simple, that's what we need. Building that bridge, not so easy. Look, it's simple, you just learn the language. Simple, but not easy. Look, losing weight, it's easy, you just stop eating so much stuff. Easy to say, not easy to do. In the church, over the years, the long years, the many centuries, we've taken the simple stuff and made it complicated, complex, abstruse, and sometimes unintelligible. But when you strip away all the accumulated baloney, all the centuries of theological wrangling, liturgical gamesmanship, and sheer bloody-mindedness, maybe it all boils down to what Isaiah is saying. Maybe it's really astonishingly simple. When you cut to the chase, when you actually want to know what God wants from us, love God with all our heart, love our neighbour with the same focus and devotion we bestow on ourselves. Or, as Isaiah puts it, when he cuts through the priestly robes and the manufactured rules and the nitpicking ordinances, the tedious debates and the ugly legalistic mindset, the endless rituals, the fasts and festivals, the feast days and observances, this is what we're supposed to do. This is how we let our light shine. This is what our religion is directing us towards. To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke, share bread, bring the homeless to your house, clothe the naked, care for your relatives. There it is. Simple. Could it be more straightforward? Crystal clear. Do that stuff, be that person. Do that stuff, be that person. And you start to become truly religious. Deliver on those pledges and you come close to where God wants you to be. A lot closer than you will ever be if you merely do the exterior ecclesiastical business of religion, but never get your hands dirty, your timetable messed up because of the needs of other people. Caring for them trumps and trumps again any impeccable record of religious observance, any number of ecclesiastical ticked boxes. It's very simple. Do these things. Start to become that person and you come very close to God. I was absolutely frozen the other week at the week of prayer for Christian Unity service at the cathedral. The chill in that vast place seemed to seep into my bones as I shared in the service with a walk-on part as the token English speaker. It was fine, a good if cold experience. And I was able to follow most of the service, even and especially the sermon, in beautiful expressive French, when the preacher made the point that what matters for our authentic Christian faith and witness to the world is not what we do now here in church, but what we do, in his words, après et dehors, what we do next, after we've been here, what we do out there, outside the walls of the church, when all the prayers have been said and all the hymns have been beautifully sung, there's where we get to the guts of it. There we hit the hard stuff, the being Christian, not just believing, liking, knowing. When we get to the doing part. When Isaiah tells us, we can see it so clearly. It's so simple, really. To loose the bonds of injustice, undo the thongs of the yoke, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke, share bread, bring the homeless to your house, clothe the naked, care for your relatives. With all religious demonstrations of piety, there's always the danger of being a dilettante, concerned with appearance rather than substance. The emphasis on externals allowed to subvert internals, favouring form over content. When it all becomes procedural, look at me, outward motions, assiduous religious practice, disguising our internal barrenness, all pomp and circumstance, but no engagement, sound and fury, signifying nothing. Unless we get real, we get nothing. When we do plenty pious-looking stuff, but miss the point, and it's a hard point, and we can miss it by mistake or miss it by design. The prophet Isaiah rails at the paraders of their piety, challenges their motives, and demands that they put flesh on their gesture religiosity. If they want to keep it grounded, then they must match their demonstrations of apparent religious zeal and purity with a commitment to do the hard work required. A commitment to do the hard work required, the hard yards on that second mile. To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, share bread, bring the homeless to your house, clothe the naked, care for your relatives. Isaiah spells it out in big, clear, unmistakable letters, relentless and merciless. Do these things, pay that price, show that awareness and willingness to sweat and toil, then and only then, are you truly in the game? Then and only then, are you keeping it real? And what does that look like? What does that cost, require, ask of us, demand of us, here in our largely comfortable life in Geneva? What high ideals summon us? Which global issues are we invited to involve ourselves with? Or closer to home, what does it look like for us to loose the bonds of injustice? Most of us are temporarily here guests. It might seem impolite to question too vigorously the way things are done and how people seem to be treated in a culture where many of us are not really long-term stakeholders. But if we do perceive situations that reek of prejudice and unfairness, there would seem to be some obligation on us not to keep silent. Abuses of power, systemic inequities, work practices and attitudes that are prejudicial, instances of sexism or ageism, subtle racism, that leave the recipients wounded and broken. It's hard to be critical of a culture that prides itself on its right on ecologically sensitive human rights awareness, global vision. But we will all encounter instances of the harder side of life. And if our religion is to have any currency, it might find itself having to grapple with some of those moments, rather than looking away, walking away. And the big real world is never far from our life, intruding its pain and violence, its human rights abuses, large and small, communities or individuals on the receiving end of injustices and indifference, men and women of faith endangered, threatened, driven out, killed by regimes that make cruelty and violence against the innocent part of their way of governing. The list is long, depressingly long. We need not to be silent nor feel powerless. To express solidarity with the oppressed, to support with our voice and our resources those who champion the causes of the oppressed, women trafficked, exploited, abused, whole classes of people disadvantaged and sidelined, those who work to undo the thongs of the yoke, and having done that, seek to break those yokes forever. They need our voice, our money, our prayers, our commitment. Look at me, I can talk about my faith till the cows come home. Needs to become, look how hard I work to make things right, to change the way the world operates. Otherwise, it's just posturing, smoke and mirrors. Isaiah's next four examples of how to live faith, not just draw pretty pictures of faith, are painfully close to home. Bring us face to face on our doorstep with what faith must look like if it is to have any hope of bringing us closer to God. Share bread, bring the homeless to your house, clothe the naked, care for your relatives. no chance of symbolizing, spiritualizing those away, making these demands into mere metaphors. This is specific and awkward, clear and demanding, exhausting and costly. There's nothing around these four areas of earth-grounded, inconvenient faith living that we don't understand. It's simple. There's nothing there that doesn't place an imperative upon us that we kind of wish wasn't there. Where can we draw the line between our life and the needs of others? What bit of our time, our space, our programme, our priorities can we ring fence in order to close the door from time to time on the needs of the world, the people of the world who come clamouring for our time, our attention, our warm embrace, and whose ragged need crowds in on us, pushes wider the door of our heart, not stopping, asking, needing, clinging. Lord, this is too hard. Let me show you my devotion by some Bible study. At least that has a beginning and an end. But this other thing, these other people, there is no end to it. Whoever needs me, whoever is my neighbour, they're all my neighbour. Let me take refuge in religious formalities, pure liturgy, well-worked arguments, sound doctrine, committee meetings. Just stop asking me, Lord, to love my neighbour. Let me love you. You are conveniently invisible. But they, the hungry, the naked, the homeless, the feckless, and the frightened, they are so there. They're so right there. And you are so insistent that we love them. Love them all, unless we want our liturgical niceness, our theological purity, our would-be reputation for having big hearts, to be stained with hypocrisy, compromised by comfortableness, empty of Christ-like compassion. I hate to say it, because of what it means for my life too, but there are no ring-fenced areas where love can be rationed. There is no comfort zone in which we can shelter from the pressing needs of others. There are no reserved seats at the table guarded jealously for the people who are like us and people that we like. Every one is Jesus. Everyone out there is Jesus, needing our love to be more than words, intentions, aspirations. James sums it up beautifully in his New Testament letter. Come on, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.